Troy.
It's a show about technology.
I've got a steel plate in my head. I've got a steel plate in my head.
There's a first aid kit in the next room.
I've got a steel plate in my head. From Vietnam. Sorry.
Okay. We have a caller on the line.
Look out.
This is recording. Oh, it's that bonehead said he was in Vietnam. He must be on drugs.
Colm, are you on drugs?
Yes.
Yes. He don't know first thing about Vietnam. He must be on drugs.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't bank where ass monkeys bank.
Sound advice.
From the studios of WRPI in Troy, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, what happens when you mix the two, and where, like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and here we have tonight in the next room, we have Phil and Lil. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
And Sean is here, and Fongaboo has just walked in the door, so let me just pot him up here. Say hi, Fong. That'll have to do. It seems like you just came running down the stairs or something.
Barreling down the hallway.
I see Fong has a camcorder with him today.
Interesting choice. Anyway, we'll be your hosts for the next hour and a half as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 43 of Little Brother, and this is the last episode. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. All right, and before we get started, as usual, I need to remind you that the opinions and views expressed in the show are strictly those of the participants and not necessarily those of Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, the WRPI staff or management, or Rensselaer Student Union. Any responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request airtime for a rebuttal. I'm going to tell you the phone number here. It's area code 518-276-6248. That number again, 518-276-6248. This will be your last opportunity to put your 2 cents worth in, so this would be a good opportunity to start dialing if you would like to do so. I'll give out the email address, although I won't be able to address your emails on the air. As I said, this is the last episode, but the email address is critter@verizoneatspoop.com. That's critter, C-R-I-T-T-E-R, at verizoneatspoop, all one word, .com. And I'm not going to bother with the snail mail address because I won't be here to pick it up. So with that, I think we may be able to move on.
You know about that last episode bit, Phil's been talking to someone that does public access television.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's toying with the idea. Maybe little brother-in-law, you know.
Well, you know something, I'll tell you guys right up front. I'm open to various ideas of passing the torch here. We'll talk after the show offline, you know. Anyway, as usual, I think I'm going to, I'd like to start it off with a few items from the Risks Digest. As soon as I can find it here. Here we go. Okay, first item that we have up comes from Lauren Weinstein. He or she, and it's one of those names that you can't really tell when you see it in print, is saying, greetings. According to the entertainment industry, consumers risk becoming outlaws if they skip the commercials during television programs. The latest Fact Squad radio short audio segment concerns the escalating technology and political battle between the entertainment industry and their consumers. It's entitled, Don't Touch That Dial or You're Under Arrest. And it can be played at www.factsquad.org/radio. And I wish I had time to put that on tape before I'd come here this evening, because I would, I think that would be appropriate.
What about those of us that don't have the technology, but say, go get a sandwich in the commercial breaks? Are we criminal too?
I believe that you are. You know, the
what
thing
if
that...
I really, really have to pee? Should they really have jurisdiction over that?
Well, you know, I suppose that they don't, but, you know, really what it comes down to, what triggered this whole thing? Let's back up a second. I'll tell you what triggered this whole event here. Was the new personal video recorder from Sonic Blue. And what it's capable of, in addition to what all of the previous ones are, is that you can take this particular PVR and you can send your recorded material over the internet. What a horrible thing to do.
Dear God.
So that kind of triggered things and got the entertainment industry really sort of torqued off at the electronics industry. And what they ended up doing was one of the things they've done, which we'll cover a little bit later tonight. They've required Sonic Blue to actually spy on their consumers through a court order, to actually spy on the consumers, find out what they're watching, what commercials they're skipping, and so on and so forth.
But there was
basically,
a court order?
There is a court order on this one. I'll dig it up. Actually, we'll do it in a couple of minutes. You want to hand me
that? Is it kind of like a hardware spyware type thing, or?
Yeah, it's sort of along those lines. But the thing of it is, it got things stirred up enough that finally somebody from the entertainment industry came out and said that skipping commercials was equivalent to theft, and that by skipping the commercials, you were breaking your contract with the broadcaster. Now, I would challenge the broadcasters, the commercial broadcasters, to actually dredge up the contract that's got my signature on it, because I know I sure as hell didn't sign any contract saying I was going to watch the commercials. Let's see here.
You are hereby court-ordered to watch the Pepsi Girl.
Forget it. I'm not going to watch the Pepsi Girl, and I'm not going to watch the Ford commercials, and I'm not going to watch any of the other ads either.
But what will Ernie Tatro do?
Get a new
He'll
Taurus
move
show.
On. You know, he used to do news.
Yeah, there was a time.
Yeah, he could do that again. I mean, it's a perfectly legitimate form of employment there as a news anchor. I don't know. I just dug up the article that I was just talking about here. This was from San Francisco Gate. And the article says, in a ruling that has alarmed consumer rights groups and electronics companies, a federal judge ordered the maker of a digital video recorder to monitor how its consumers skip commercials and swap shows. Sonic Blue Incorporated of Santa Clara said U.S. Magistrate Judge Charles Ike's order forces it to spy on owners of its Replay TV 4000. We think this is a violation of us and a violation of our customers, said Andrew Wolf, chief technology officer for Sonic Blue, which plans to ask a U.S. district court to overturn the order issued April 23rd. Representatives from the major media companies are suing Sonic Blue and say they don't want to spy on consumers but are seeking general information that can help prove their case that the controversial device opens the door for copyright infringement. What we've always been against since the time immemorial is the illegal use of intellectual property, says Imara Jones, a spokesman for CBS parent Viacom International Incorporated. It's not about trying to stifle technological innovation. Replay's statement that its users' privacy rights are being violated is a deliberate and completely misleading characterization of the court's order, said Michelle Bergman, spokesman for the Walt Disney Company, another plaintiff in the case. Vivendi Universal, Fox, and AOL Time Warner are also involved in the suit. So there you have it. There is actually a court order out there saying that Sonic Blue has to collect information about their customers. How about that?
We could just go with a TiVo. I know someone who's actually hacked it and was able to extract the MPEG video off the TiVo units.
Oh, yeah. One of the things that a lot of people don't know is that TiVos run Linux.
Mm-hmm.
And so the task of opening one up and hacking the code is actually quite simple, and it produces a very respectable quality MPEG when you're done. You end up with something on the order of 352 by 480 resolution, mm-hmm. SVCD quality.
Hmm.
Only maybe a few, only a notch away from DVD quality.
Right.
Of course, you can only fit an hour on a CD if you try to burn it to a CD. Anyway. All right. Let's see here. What else have we got going on? I'm going to be a little bit scattered here tonight because there's just so much good stuff going on. Well, I say good stuff. So much interesting stuff going on out there that I wanted to talk about. Here's one that's kind of interesting that came up in the Microsoft case. This one is out of off of Reuters, and they're saying that over the objections of Microsoft, U.S. District Court Judge Colleen Collar Cottley, say that three times fast, said she would allow that she would allow nine states seeking stiff sanctions against the company to have a computer expert demonstrate a version of Windows that he has developed that can be customized. A modular version of Windows is a key demand of the nine states who have rejected a proposed settlement of the four-year-old case is too weak. The states say that a modular version of Windows would level the playing field for non-Microsoft software trying to compete with Microsoft's continued practice of attaching features to the operating system, such as its web browser and its multimedia player. But the software giant says it would be technically impossible to offer multiple versions of Windows and would create havoc for computers, consumers, and the industry. The non-settling states told the judge that Virginia-based computer testing consultant James Bach had built his modular version of Windows using Microsoft's own technology. Bach, who has worked as a contractor for Microsoft, has created the new version using Windows XP Embedded, a commercial version of Windows designed for specialty devices such as cash registers and automatic teller machines. Bach will testify that his modular version of Windows was robust and reliable. Now, there's an interesting thing that developed since then.
What, a Microsoft product being robust and reliable?
Well, the ground opened up.
Oh, boy. You know, I'll grant that XP is more robust than the DOSoids. You know, your 98 and your what's the other one there? Millennium Edition.
You think so?
A little bit.
Oh, it's much.
But it's
better.
it's not nearly as robust as NT.
And no, it
NT's,
is.
Do you not have to like wait for start menus to take evaporate onto the screen, like
you can turn all that off.
I didn't say it was responsive. I said it was robust. It's about as responsive as a brick.
I don't know, my luck with it has been less than stellar.
Yeah.
Did you guys talk about the Bill Gates' threat What threat was that? Or a temper tantrum, as I'll call it. He threatened to pull Windows from the market.
That it would set technology back 10 years because he would have to pull Windows from the market.
He was just like, oh, well fine. If you're going to make me do all this stuff, then I'm just going to, like, you know, take away Windows.
I'm going to take my ball and go home.
And there was much rejoicing.
Yay! Well, I think Linux would prevail as a mainstream operating system.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the thing of it is, it would become necessary for people to change to something that would run on the hardware that they've already spent all this money on, that everybody's already got developed fully. So sure, yeah, Linux would have to be the logical one to overtake, because if you compare it to the other other Unixes and the Unix clones out there, I think it's the one. I think that, well, I'm not real keen on Red Hat, but you know, it works.
And
it's not that painful to set up.
Has anyone seen or heard anything about that Lindows?
I got a reply back from them because I guess there's nothing interesting. They kind of kindly turned down an offer to talk to us. Apparently, they're like a very small operation, and they just said that nobody has any time other than to work on their product. But they're feverishly, I guess they're feverishly at work. That implies to get things up and running.
Yeah, right. Supposedly it's a version of Linux that will be able to run some Windows applications.
It's specifically Word, Outlook are the two big ones.
Yeah, it's Linux with Wine, basically.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. Another item that was submitted to the Risks Digest by Theo Marqueros, while we're on the topic of Unixes, says that both Linux and Hewlett-Packard Unix provide a kill-all command. Under Linux, kill-all process name is used to kill all processes with the given name. For example, as root, one might kill all instances of httpd. Mm. Under HPUX, kill-all kills every process, except those required for shutdown. It takes an optional signal argument, but ignores this if it doesn't recognize it as a valid signal name. Hence, kill all HTTPD kills everything except a handful of processes required for shutdown. If not running as root, it kills all processes owned by the current user. So what's the risk? Don't assume that something is safe because it's safe in another operating system. And don't assume that running a command without arguments to get help will do the right thing. And I've run into this one myself, not with Hewlett-Packard Unix, although that is certainly an interesting reaction. I had, we run Compaq Unix at my workplace, and of course I run Linux at home, and the command works just ever so slightly differently between the two. Linux version not requiring a signal to, you know, you don't have to tell it what signal to send. You can, but you don't have to. And the DEC Unix just kind of chokes on it. But anyway, that's not nearly as dangerous as this Hewlett-Packard answer. Let's see here. U.S. intelligence officials believe the Chinese military is working to launch wide-scale cyber attacks on Americans and Taiwanese computer networks, including internet-linked military systems considered to be vulnerable to sabotage, according to a classified CIA report. And that comes to us from the L.A. Times. And I'm not sure how they got a hold of a classified CIA report. Be interested in finding that one out. Let's see. Paul Breed was writing to the Risks Digest that he says, I've been working on an old car, but in the process of removing spot welds, I needed a specific sized bullet-tipped drill bit. The bit would only last about 5 welds, and I had hundreds to do. The only place I could find locally to buy the bits was in a pack of 15 various size bits at the local home center. So, over the period of 3 months, I purchased all of their drill sets, every weekend, usually 3 sets. Now I've disassembled the old car and don't need more bits. Well, the last time I was in the home center, they had so many of these drill bit sets that they were overflowing onto the floor. From my experience, the computerized inventory system has a delay of about 3 months. It determined that this item sold out for 12 weeks straight. Plugged this into its inventory tracking prediction software and ordered hundreds and hundreds of sets. Oh, no. I can just picture this, can't you? Bruce Stein sent us another one from the Los Angeles Times. He says, at the California DMV website, www.smogcheck.ca.gov, click on Vehicle Smog Check History. Enter just a license plate number, and you'll be provided with the vehicle identification number, the make, model, and year of the vehicle, the date and location of every smog test the vehicle has had. The location of the smog test is almost always the neighborhood where the car lives. In a case of personalized license plate, you get all of the vehicles that that plate has ever been on. Interesting. Hmm. That's a bit much. Oh, boy. I think I'm going to dump the rest of this episode or the rest of this issue of the Risks Digest because I, during my 2-week hiatus, I managed to rack up two of them here. Let me see what else we have going on. Oh, let's see here. U.S. Attorney General John D. Ashcroft is proposing legitimate legislation increasing by 2 to 5 years the jail time for persons convicted of aggravated identity theft of a crime. Let me try starting that one again.
Yes, because legitimate and legislative.
Yeah, let's start all over. U.S. Attorney General John D. Ashcroft is proposing legislation increasing by 2 to 5 years the jail time for persons convicted of aggravated identity theft. The Department of Justice is...
Give me your identity now!
Don't move. I have a gun to your back. Just reach into your pocket and hand me your identity and nobody gets hurt.
Your identity or your life?
Anyway. The Department of Justice is committed to seeing to it that criminals and terrorists cannot find refuge in the identities of law-abiding citizens of this country. Since October 1998, 2,223 criminal cases have been filed against 2,899 defendants. The call for tougher penalties won immediate support from Democrat Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, who chairs the Senate's Judiciary Subcommittee on Technology, Terrorism, and Government. And that comes from May 3rd, Washington Post. Let's see here. Mark Bergman submits the advantage and risk of being able to use screen buffers and scroll bars to go back in time and see what's happened in a terminal session is fairly well known, but I associate that kind of thing with fairly intelligent graphical user interface terminal emulators such as Xterm. I happen to be using GSP, Guardian Service Processor, a set of low-level hardware and diagnostic routines, to check the cause of a blinking error LED on a Hewlett-Packard L-class server recently. I was using a very dumb console, just an 80x24 monitor and a keyboard with a serial connection to the server with access to this GSP. Among the dozens of commands within the GSP is a selection to show the console log. I was pleased to see the console log contained the many diagnostic messages that were displayed when the server boots up before logins are available. I was also very surprised to find the log also held the screenshots of the last console login session, including a telnet session, into a network switch, and the complete log, not just the commands but all output as well, of the switch reconfiguration. No passwords were visible this time, and the discovery isn't a particularly earth-shattering revelation. However, I think there's a risk when somebody uses an apparently dumb device with no intrinsic history to connect to another device, the switch, with no command history, and yet there's a record of every screen preserved weeks later. Rob Slade submits an item saying that recently a Risks reader had been regalizing with him stories about life in the marketing trenches at, well, shall we say, a very large technology company. AVLTC, that's short for a very large technology company, or TC to its close friends, like most other technology companies, has a marketing arm. The marketing people have managed to include directives to be issued to all incoming staff. Prime amongst these is the indoctrination about the importance of contacts. Contacts are, of course, the lifeblood of sales and marketing. Every contact is to be forwarded to marketing for inclusion in the database. And in order for the contact to be useful, it must include as much information about the contact as possible. Remember the old joke, price list for answers, correct answers, and so forth? Well, in the TC world, an answer costs you a name, an address, and a phone number, while a correct answer costs you a life history. Even a dumb look costs you a name and a phone number at the very least. Since TC deals in solutions, don't we all, and many people approach TC speakers at conferences and seminars with problems. In order to get a TC person to even listen to your problem, hopefully thinking that they might get back to you with a solution, you have to give them your contact info. And that info goes into the database. And of course, many of the people with the most interesting problems might work for important agencies, like, say, the military. So, TC has a very extensive list of names and phone numbers of people in the military, as well as other agencies. Now, given the least benefit of the doubt, we can assume that TC is not interested in espionage. What TC is interested in is aggressive marketing.
It is blackmail.
So they regularly have people call the number on the list. And, of course, if they have no other information, and if they're worthy of their marketing headsets, they start asking questions. In the security realms, this would be known as social engineering. And it is a really neat way to get people to tell you things that they ordinarily wouldn't do. If you have the right number and the right name, there tends to be a presumption that you also have the right to ask questions, particularly if you also know the right problem. But remember, this isn't espionage, this is just aggressive marketing. Now comes an interesting twist. Assume that TC has no interest in espionage. Assume that their marketing and salespeople are all of the highest ethical caliber. No, Peter, this is not a military pun. I don't know who Peter is, but it's not. Even granted all of this, TC does not use its own sales staff to gather this information. TC sales staff are highly trained and skilled workers and are also paid more than $3 an hour. So TC contracts this out this information gathering work to outside companies. Now, at this point, unfortunately, the tale gets a little bit fuzzy since we don't know an awful lot about these companies, except that they're likely also the people who phone you at dinner time to sell excess credit cards and unwanted magazines. Well, we do know slightly more about these companies. Said companies provide a valuable employment opportunity to any number of rather low-paid workers who are very likely industrious and entrepreneurial. And if the lack of command of English language is any indication, also recent immigrants to these shores. All right, we have to take a break. I need to tell you that you are listening to 91.5 FM WRPI in Troy. And little brother will be back in a moment.
Just like my father and mother.
What can I do for you, sir?
This fried rice stinks.
Oh, yeah? No problem.
You don't like my rice? You don't like my rice?
What's wrong with the food?
It is beautiful for me.
What's wrong with the food?
This fried rice stinks.
What's wrong with the food?
This fried rice stinks.
or a non-driver ID card. The intent of the legislation is to correct flaws in the driver's license standard that states currently have, says a Moran spokesman, Dan Drummond. Right now, there are inconsistent requirements between the states for initial identity verification. There's also insufficient verification of identity documents that people present when they go to get a license. The bill would also earmark $315 million in federal funds to help pay for the transition to the new licenses and to set up links between state computer systems. Linking the computers is necessary, proponents say, so that states can check if the person applying for a driver's license was denied a license in another state. These provisions in the bill track closely with a proposal by the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators, which has a long supported standardized licenses and has been pushing to set criteria for breeder documents like birth certificates and a link to state computer systems. The total cost of the links and other enhancements would be substantial. In 1997, the Social Security Administration published a report saying the cost to issue an enhanced Social Security card, an idea similar in many ways to the enhanced driver's license, would range from $3.8 million to $9.2 billion, depending on the type of the card. Issuing a Social Security card with a computer chip and a biometric identifier to 277 million people was estimated to cost $7.3 billion, a figure deemed reasonable by the General Accounting Office in 1998.
You know, if they link all these DMV computers together, you know very well that all the employees are going to be playing like Wolfenstein with each other.
Well, it also looks like they found a way to get their federal ID card without making a federal ID card.
Exactly. Right.
What, is each of these going to have a little chip and a biometric reader on the license itself to read your print or something?
Well, that's
because
something
how
I'm
do you
not...
prove... You know, unless every establishment is going to have a biometric thumbprint reader or something, you can still have an ID card. And
yeah, you know, that's one of the things that's really not alarmingly clear about this whole setup. And the thing that scares me about it is this. All right, one of the older methods of authentication is a signature. You know, and if you sign the back of your credit card and you lose your credit card and somebody picks it up, they now have your credit card number and they know what your signature looks like. So they could pretend to be you. But the thing of it is, if this card goes around and it's got your photograph, your thumbprint, as well as your signature on it, then somebody that could theoretically go high-tech enough to really seriously pretend to be you, complete with leaving fingerprints that look like yours. That'd have to be carefully engineered.
We're talking like Gattaca here.
We're talking about MacGyver yeah. technology here, but...
No, MacGyver technology would be like tinfoil in a spoon. Okay, this is like Gattaca level imitation.
But still, there's enough people out there with lots of time on their hands who would be more than happy to get their hands on these things.
That's true. I knew a man that litter box trained hamsters. I'm sure he could falsify identities quite handily.
Lots of patience.
Oh, brother!
Lots of time, lots of patience.
Lots of time and compassion.
Anyway. So the AAMVA proposal would cover some 250 million people, including Canadians, in the system. Ah. One aspect of the new bill may not mesh well with AAMVA's vision, however, is the use of a driver's license for other than driver identification. Jay Maxwell, AAMVA executive director, told UPI in a mid-April conference that the dual-use cards can create a problem with who owns the license and its use for driving enforcement. Now, what would happen, for example, said Maxwell, if a policeman had to take your driver's license, but your driver's license was also your ATM card and your credit card? Oh, actually, I got an answer for that one. That would mean my answer for that one is that if this is the case, then you are incredibly stupid. But anyway, such a problem would only impact the worst drivers, stressed Shane Hamm, a senior policy analyst at the Washington-based Progressive Policy Institute, who said that this was a very small number of users. He added that there might be other ways around the problem. In theory, the cards could also be structured in such a way that revoking your driving privileges is just a change that's downloaded onto the chip itself without actually yanking the card back. He also stressed that the use of enhanced driver's licenses for private sector services is strictly voluntary. It would be completely optional if the cardholder wanted to put something else on their driver's license, said Hamm. As far as anybody's concerned, you could pretend the chip wasn't there. If the purpose of this card is domestic security, or it's national security, or it's to screen terrorists, then there's no reason to be no reason for it to be designed from the beginning to be interoperable with private sector entities, pointed out Li Tian, senior staff attorney with the San Francisco-based Electronic Frontier Foundation. The real thrust of the private sector interoperability is so that the ID card or driver's license will be even more useful to commercial entities in terms of tracking consumers, doing consumer profiling, telemarketing, and all those kinds of things that people currently consider to be an invasion of privacy. The destiny of information on the cards makes them a target, sort of a honeypot for people who want to steal data, says Ari Schwartz, the associate director at the Washington-based Center for Democracy and Technology. Supposedly secure chips on smart cards have already been hacked, Schwartz said.
But you can pretend the chip's not there. You heard them.
Yeah, and then how many cases are you going to run into where they're going to insist on having your driver's license? You know, I mean, up to a certain point, you'll be able to say, all right, I'll take my business elsewhere. But there's going to be some point where you won't be able to do that, I'm sure. I don't know. Just a thought.
Slippery slope.
But what are people supposed to do that, say, don't have driver's licenses, right?
Well, they use a state-issued non-driver ID.
What if they don't get that? You could be pretty non-compliant with these things. You can duck under the radars pretty effectively if you want to.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Could you gouge the chip out, maybe?
Possibly.
That's a possibility. Because probably that would invalidate your driver's license.
But I mean, like,
probably just
like,
fry it.
Yeah.
High voltage to the
EMP. Like, for example, when I went to school in... Yeah, when
microwave.
I went to school in New Paltz, almost no one had a driver's license because everyone was from New York City. They had no reason to have a driver's license. They also would not have non-driver ID. So you'll miss major populations by going through the DMV.
Yeah, actually, along that same vein, I knew a couple of people at SUNY Brockport who were similarly disposed. But what they did was, believe it or not, they carried around their passports.
Hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah.
But,
Well, you got a driver's license now.
No, I have a permit and a license.
Oh, I thought you had a full license.
That's why I said we were all glad to be alive today. I drove in. So we're all just glad to arrive.
The bad
here
thing
with
was
you.
That we let her eat while she was driving.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was a bad idea.
You gotta learn that eventually, though.
Someday.
Well, yeah.
Someday. But not, you know, the first week. You know, it's not
yeah,
a
usually idea. It's me in the morning driving, you know, 5-speed stick with a coffee and a cigarette, you know.
And driving with your knees. Yeah. But, no, I mean, like, I've ducked that whole thing for a very long time. And you go to cash a check at Walmart or something, they'll be like, you should get a non-driver's ID. I'm like, yeah, I don't wanna. You know, who's going to make you? Nobody can make you. So really, I mean, there's a lot of things. They're going to miss major populations, like I said.
Okay.
You know, there's any, like, major metropolitan area, there's tons and tons of people, thousands and thousands and thousands, that don't have driver's license or non-driver ID because it's just impractical to own a car in that circumstance.
Well, I'll tell you, there's one other aspect to this whole thing that... kind of gets me wondering, and that's this. What's going to happen when they go to revoke somebody's driver's license and they push the wrong button and revoke the wrong person's license, and this person does not know that his license has been revoked because until he gets pulled over for something because it downloaded this to him when he went to withdraw cash from an ATM? Can you imagine the bureaucratic nightmare that this would generate? Think about that one. I don't know. Let's meditate on that one. Anyway. So, while we're on the topic of privacy, yeah, when are we not? Airbus, the European jet manufacturer, this comes from newscientist.com, is planning to build concealed cameras into the light fittings on the seats in its aircraft. The idea is to let the crew monitor passengers and spot hijackers before they strike. The cameras also work in the dark.
They should put the cameras in the restrooms.
So you can, yes, of course. I mean, you need to validate membership in the sky and the Mile High Club somehow.
Right.
Now they can download that to your license too. Oh, sir, I see you have a clean driver's license. I'm sorry for pulling you over, and congratulations on being a member of the Mile High Club. I've been one for 20 years.
Anyway.
They had to cease those flights, too, didn't they?
Say what?
They had to cease those flights because, like, one of the planes crashed while they were doing their thing up there. And they can't insure them anymore.
I don't know. You lost me on that one.
The actual Mile High Club, like, can no longer get insurance.
Really?
From what I heard. after an incident in a downed plane.
Ouch.
Going down.
Well, I have to give it credit for being an interesting way to die. Anyway.
Die with a smile on your face.
I hope so. Anyway, the move is part of an attempt to reassure people who have been frightened of flying since the September 11th attacks. At an airline technology conference in Prague last week, a delegate from the VALK Foundation said that before September 11th, none of the 4,000 people it had helped to overcome the fear of flying had ever cited hijacking as the root of their fear, but since then, it has become the main fear for a third of its clients. And I don't know what VALK is. I'm guessing it's a counseling service that helps people overcome fear of flying or something along those lines. The industry hopes that well-publicized improvements in airline security will quell passengers' fears. Airbus, working with American aerospace technology company Goodrich, says the best strategy is to let passengers know that everybody is being watched by the hidden cameras.
Now that's going to be the new crop of people that are afraid of flying.
Yeah, to be afraid of flying because of
privacy rights activists. I don't want to be watched.
One plan Airbus is considering, said the firm's cabin security expert Rolf Gudicke, involves hiding a tiny camera inside light fittings above each passenger seat, surrounded by a ring of infrared LEDs. The cameras will normally work with ambient light, but switch to infrared when the cabin is dark. Black and white images captured by the camera will be fed to screens in the cockpit via cables used to distribute pictures to the seat back video screens. Although only some lights will have cameras, potential terrorists will not know which ones they are. A less ambitious system, which Airbus is now fitting into all of its new planes, will monitor the area behind the cockpit door.
What do they mean the terrorists won't know which ones they are? How long do they really think it's going to take them to figure that out? The info is going to be leaked, you know. They're probably going to do it the same in every bloody plane, and then...
I was just going to say, if they do it right, then it won't be the same on every plane.
Yeah,
however,
but they probably won't do it right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The other issue is how many... Some of these planes are pretty big. How many cameras and monitors are you going to have
right.
to sit
Who's
monitor?
Actually monitoring these things, right? What is, you know...
Anyway... The less ambitious plan, which Airbus is now fitting into all its new planes, will monitor the area behind the cockpit door. Under new rules, cockpit doors are being reinforced to protect the flight deck crew from attackers, but they still need to open the door to get to the toilets and to let cabin crew members bring them meals and drinks. So, Airbus is putting three overhead cameras with wide-angle lenses around the cockpit door to send pictures to an LCD screen in the cockpit. Two cameras have leave a blind spot, said Stein. If carefully sighted, three give a hijacker no good hiding place. Well, I hope they're right.
Well, here's what they could do. They could have the pilots manually fly the planes from the ground remotely.
Now,
with no override controls in the plane itself.
Well,
haven't we been there? Haven't we discussed this one already?
I don't know.
I don't remember discussing it.
Because I seem to remember this one going off in the direction of somebody hijacking the plane remotely.
It's actually probably easier because all you have to do is hack the signal.
Yeah, see, exactly. Because I would be. Then you'd get a whole new rash of people afraid to fly for a whole different.
Get some 802.11 war.
Yeah, I don't know though. These cameras that are in the lights though, they just sound like a new way for the pilots or whomever to look down the shirts of attractive lady passengers. Mm. That's about all I see.
Well, no, there's an interesting thing there, too, is that...
Because you know they're going to get distracted from that, and they're not going to be watching anybody that may or may not be pulling out weapons
miss.
Or whatnot.
Yes, hello, miss. You sit in seat 39A.
Well, I have to add an observation here, too, and that is the fact that infrared cameras have some interesting effects. Sometimes, not always, it depends entirely on the specific clothing, But some clothing comes out transparent in infrared.
Good Lord.
Well, that was the whole situation with those camcorders for a while.
Bingo!
With clothing.
I've actually seen some of the videos.
Which clothing? Because now I'm going on the plane in nothing but a lead apron. I swear to God.
It's amazing how much different clothing does actually look almost
invisible. And oddly enough, out pops Fongaboo with a camera. That better not have infrared on it.
Does that one
get
have the filter?
That camera off my chest. I will come in there and I will smack you up. But I swear to God, I'm going to go on a plane with a lead apron from now on. Because ain't nothing going through that.
Okay.
You have to take that off as you go through the security point, though.
There was a notable instance of a remote controlled plane that was demonstrated in Paris going back a number of years ago, and the remote control failed to respond, and the thing just kind of casually flew into a forest, and I saw footage of it. It was pretty funny. It's like coming in for a landing and the nose never really comes down, the thing never really touches ground, and it just kind of like sashays into the forest, and it disappears into the wilderness, and all of a sudden you see poof.
Oops.
Fly-by-wire is bad, okay?
I'd like to make my...
We need new AA batteries for the remote.
I'd like to make my car remote, and then just, say, run a red light and get pulled over.
Get me out of here.
Be sitting in the back seat.
No, you get pulled over, and there's nobody in the car. Yes.
Or you get pulled over by one of those state trooper cars with the mannequins in it.
Okay, we need to take another break. Little Brother will be right back in just a minute.
Once again, the staff and management of WRPI proudly present How to Tell WRPI from All the Other Radio Stations Ever.
Reason number 3.14159. Interesting technical information.
Disintegrate, particles drift into atoms and separate, developing a movement known as sound waves that travel at Mach 1 via the airspace. Hitting the microphone, making it vibrate. Electrical impulse start to migrate along the wire to enter the next phase of audio sequence. The infamous noise gate lifts over the threshold to enter the system. Goals matter, not converted to data. Knowledge is primary, communication is digital, language is binary. From the bit to the megabyte, math is the mode to educate the neophyte. Science is the road, the way to understanding a complex network, always expanding, growing by the minute, realm of broadcast, borders are infinite, signals energized and ready for transmit, working its way up the tower, several times an hour, getting power rotation, zero static on the air, receivers are fine-tuned, perception is clear, courtesy of fiber optics, the highs are bright, the lows kick.
Join us next time as we bring you more of How to Tell WRPI from All the Other Radio Stations Ever, a seemingly endless saga brought to you as a public service by WRPI in Troy.
And you are listening to 91.5 FM WRPI in Troy, New York. The topic is technology. The show is called Little Brother, and this is the last episode. And we're going into the last segment, so if you want to get your digs in, this is your opportunity. Area code 518-276-6248 will get you on the air. Once again, I would remind you that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants, not necessarily those of Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, the Rensselaer Student Union, or the WRPI staff and management, and that responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request airtime for a rebuttal. And we have a caller on the line. So let's see what happens when we push the button. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. You can't leave. You can't leave us out here all alone.
All the doors are locked from the outside.
No, this can't be happening. I feel like I'm standing on the edge of the abyss.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. There's some changes that are coming up for yours truly, and it kind of became necessary to duck out at this point.
This is like a knife in our hearts.
I'm sorry to hear that, man. But I do appreciate the fact that you care.
Well, whatever is causing it, I hope it's to the greater benefit of us all, whatever it happens to be, and you probably can't reveal it. Owing to your rights of privacy.
Well, I'm not able to right at the moment, but I'll say this about that. This is the final episode of Little Brother for now. There's nothing to say that that the torch won't be passed on to one of the guys here, or to several, or that I may return at some point in the future. But for the moment, the hiatus is absolutely necessary.
All right. Well, we'll have to figure something else out. I don't know what, but I wanted to make sure that I got to speak to you, for the last time. And your program has been loaded today. It's overwhelming, which makes it all that more clear why you're going to be so missed.
Well, the thing that's really scary about that statement is I accidentally left about half the material that I intended to have with me tonight at home.
So. Well, that's a cheerful thought.
So it's
that's a cheerful notification.
Yeah,
well, you only have half of it.
Yeah, well, the point I'm getting at is it's been an absolutely loaded show, and even so, we didn't even have everything we intended to have.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if this has anything to do with technology or not, but I've been listening to you and tonight, and I was reminded of the person in California, this guy in California who's part of his body is the private property of some doctor because he had it patented.
Ouch.
Huh.
You know about that?
No.
Oh, you really need to know, because this is, it's certainly, fits in the category of an invasion of privacy. The person in question is suing to get the exclusive ownership of his body back.
Absolutely.
Because
if you don't own your body, what do you own?
Does it involve an implant?
No. No, what happened was he had some surgery done, and the doctor, I think it was because he had some disease or something, but anyway, I think he had, the doctor had to remove some tissue, and in examining the tissue, he came across something that he recognized as somehow unique in this person's body, and because of biotechnology, he also, a light went on in his head.
And he patented it.
That if you have something biological that is unique in any way, you better get a patent on it because it could be worth something someday. He doesn't know whether it ever will be worth something, but just in case. So he got it, since he had taken it out of this person's body, he assumed ownership of it and then went and got a patent of it. In other words, it was separated from the person's body, but it's material, it's tissue that this person's body continues to generate, this unique tissue.
I'm going to say this about that. I am certain, and it's unfortunate that that deities cannot participate in court, because I think that that certainly any deity that you may happen to believe in might want to claim prior art in this court case.
Yeah, that is man upstairs might have something to say about that.
That is certainly not something of his own creation.
Now, is this an old wives' tale? But I always used to hear if you were in the military and you got an ingrown toenail and you neglected it and it got infected and led to you requiring the toe to be removed, then you could technically be found liable to destruction of government property.
Talk to me, man. It's your boy, Young Hope. Return to noise up. boy, young ho, if you turn the noise up, we can get right into the proceedings this evening. The headphones up to start, bring it down a little bit. Okay. Talk now we make me in. The boy face up, boy, young ho, if you turn the noise up, we can get right into the proceedings this evening. The headphones up to start, bring it down a little bit. Okay, now we working with it. The boy face up and baseline bass. Mom, welcome to New York City. It's your boy Young Ho. Kanye West on the track. Chi-Town, what's going on now? Can I talk to y'all for a minute? Let me talk to y'all for a minute. Just give me a minute of your time, baby. I don't want much. Let me talk these motherfuckers. Guess who's Bizak? Still smell it in my clothes. Ain't happy, ain't happy. Laugh, laps on these. Get back, take it back down. Get taxing the rolls. Hug is hugging it. Do nothing, nothing with it. Straight up in the oven. Came from the dirt. I emerged from it all without a stain on my shirt. You could blame my old earth for the she instilled in me. Still with me. Pain plus work. She made me milk this game for all it's worth. That's right. Can't with me. I'm calling guts every time. Every time. We make a combo. Don't me in the face, mom. Every time we face it, yeah, basic ball. I'm on the block like I'm 8 feet tall. Homie, I'm in the drop with the AC on. That's why the streets embrace me, dawg. I'm so cool.
This is the Zach. Back on the block with the face ball. Black mittens and all. Well, maybe you collapse. Back to the block with the face. The streets is all I know.
The womb to the tomb, a hot pot of joy and a spoon, trying to make me 40,000 and move. Motel star studded, rock stars and goons, plain clothes wanna run in my room. Whoa. But guess who's been Zach? It's your boy Face Mob. Started with it, gotta get this cake, dog. Give the break, nah. You know how the game go. You think I slang for to go against the grain? No, I'm out here in grind mode, wrapped up in a paper chase. I wanna put a fine candy paint the 88. Don't got no wholesale, cause that ain't how I wanna run it. Here, take these 5 stones and bring it back 100. Gotta see my dude, you do dude. If I get too hot in the kitchen, I hit the streets, fool. Money is an issue, and that's on the bashizzle. My nizzle, your block warm, and I come by with the fizzle. And make for sure I get to work mine a part of time. We go to war, and you ain't making a dime. Cause I got to lose. I'm here paying his dues. My baby walking, gotta get him some shoes. It's a new game brewing. Let me give you the rules. Get out of line, and I'm gonna get you the blues. It's a new game brewing. Let me give you the rules. Get out of line, and I'm gonna get you the blues.
Whoa! Guess who's been Zach? The boy B. Mizak, a.k.a. Mr. Turn a whole one from a half. Look, I mastered this. You can smell it once the plastic hits. Play to make it swell up. If your gasket clip, you can make your chips swell up. You don't have to pitch. Play them corners like a safety. Watch your traffic switch. Young and never pump fake. And you get past the blitz. And keep your whole hood on flip. Like old box spring. Pissy Mac. No old box of things. Strictly blasting. I hug the block like quarter water. Now I used to hug the corner like an old deuce in a quarter. Till I deuce in the morning with the old heads. Slinging loose quarters. The silly cat back at it. And still with the wrong daddy. Still busting with that black patty.
Guess who's back? Back on the block with them face mark, black mittens and hoes. Well, maybe you collapse. Back to the block with them. Because the streets is all I know.
Mommy looking too late. Honey's eyes grilling like they killin' with a school face. Me and my troops stay loose off that Grey Goose. For the bottles of Belvedere with cranberry and grapefruit. West the sex kit. Star chillin' with stars. The bar puffin' cigars.
Well, in the afternoon, running kinda late, I can't wait for you. Gotta have my hair done and my nails done too. Just like every other group plans to do. Yeah. Tell us that we not it. VIP tables, mixed and stables, rings and navels. You know we got that long cash. Smelling like money when I walk past. You know I'm in a hurry, talk fast. Pimps and players, players and pimps. Diamonds and links, buying me drinks. What do you think? You know my CD pimpin' ain't easy. You know how many cats wanna get with May Weezy. The most glamorous. I'm not your average. So if I holler, holler back, youngin' like that.
Diarrhea, I'll be dropping some shit, but not journals and memoirs, lines and bars. I stretch my hands out to reach for the stars and making plans now to live on Mars, cause I got Earth on lock. See, my mind is like I'm used to a paper, cause I'm used to a paper drawn blank till it's got me to think. I just dip it in my think tank, fill it with ink, and run straight through the lines, cause I can't be stopped. Impose my will on words, even when they won't. For example, I make words rhyme, even when they don't. With the info vocabulary, even with the quote, I make it mine on mine until I'm done with it, cause I have fun with it. Pick it up and run with it, score it and strike it. Don't take a second to figure out you like it. If you think you can find a match, then strike it. It won't ignite, cause it can't fill my nights with the man-made lake. In the dam, in the dike, in the canal, it still cannot flow quite like this natural deal breaking move, making night, cause my mic sounds right, even when I write like this.
You know what I'm saying, man? That's what you gotta do sometimes.
Just
lock yourself up in a room and just go at it, you know, just, you know, don't put the pen down until you're done with it, like a written freestyle session, and just, you know what I'm saying? Just hit the keys until you got something that you feel,
just
Let it all out your system and get it off your chest.
But you've made your point.
I get up in the zone like a super saiyan. Superhumans wanna say I'm over drunk or sober. Me and mortals make a mission out of mixing me with masterpieces just so they can take them home and play them over. I dip into a theory till I catch diphtheria. It's scarier than waiting to exhale. You must know by the time I tap T's or relative V's, I'll be contemplating my next tale. I stay steps ahead, thinking about the reps ahead. By the time you're clueing in, it's your rep, I'm moving in. It's like a double band, both sides grooving in. Your foot in your mouth and my foot in your bed. I wanna get to the point where I don't gotta crush the competition just because they wanna see my style. I'm trying to get to the level where the rebels see the power of my empire and decide to wait a while. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, later for battle. You know, talking about the art of war, you know, they say the greatest victory is when you don't even have to go into combat. That's what I'm talking about right there. I mean, I just want to let people know what the deal is when you step to the plate. You know, what's all that's on the table right now when you're handling this hit.
You've made your point.
What are you doing? I'm writing. But you'll be when you start punching those keys. Is there a problem?
No, I'm just thinking.
That'd be vulgar. No thinking. That comes later. Sometimes a simple rhythm of typing gets us from page one to page two. When you begin to feel your own words, stop typing.
Let me explain. This is expository why they shut themselves out to open arms and harm's way. Shook by what dreams may force themselves upon. Pawn screaming e-pawn. That's why their rappers run shallow and my pawns are far gone. Cool like Calgon. Just back from Calpon and lands beyond. Letting foreigners hear my songs and back to spawn. Some more, some on, some on, some off, some in, some out. All in without a doubt. Some rise by sunrise while some guys try to summarize those they're walking for but can't crawl. See, I'm hip to a critic because they're hypocritic. It's critical that what I'm kicking is just a little bit political. So consider this a PSA from USA to UK. Say what you want to say. But if you want to say what everybody else is going to say, just remember don't play games with Jay. And we out like that, you know what I'm saying? Gotta say peace to the gods. Definitely bigging up my man Richie Pitch. It's J live at home, you know what I'm saying? Doing it upright. Straight up, right in style. Big up my man Elliot on the boards. What you laughing at?
so steady leaving
you
me.
Leaving, yeah, yeah.
It's okay, girl, 'cause I'ma be alright tonight. You don't have to call. It's okay, girl, 'cause I'ma be alright.
Garage and pull the drops out. Rocking a fur coat, bringing the blue fox out.
Diamonds yeah. light up the block, bringing the blue rocks out. While until all of my crew knocks out. Come on,
get your ass up on the floor.
Throw your hands if you want some more.
Baby, wiggle your crotch out. And peep the way we be blowing them spots out.
Come on, look how we got them ready to act out. Girl, I'm ready to get the twist in your back.
Let's
out.
Go.
Come on,
drink yak till I'm falling out. Yeah,
flat on his back. Now watch your brother crawling out. Come on,
Fat Buster.
What's up, son?
See them girl rolling. And it look like.
Come on.
They asses are swollen.
And their ass getting big
but
now.
But if your man babysitting, then what you gonna say?
What we gonna tell him?
You gonna tell that brother?
That's a Cavalcia.
You gonna tell that brother?
That's a Cavalcia.
Everybody singing now.
That's a Cavalcia.
Everybody singing now.
That's a Cavalcia.
Whoa!
You need to shake it off.
Too much hair on your cho-cha.
Shave it off.
Come on, jump, smack your ass and break it off.
And if it's too hot for y'all,
you need to take it off.
Right. In case you ain't knowing, we on a roll now.
Diddy, like we done stumbled on a pot of gold now. Come on, food spilling all out of the bowl now. Money thick and harder to fold now. Come on.
Ladies, tell me if you're feeling
all right.
And are you sure that you up to doing it?
All right.
I like this.
Listen, before you ask back, that we ain't even black yet. Come on.
People all around and it's the rap police. Shut down the block.
And the club ain't even packed yet. Come on. Enough drinking at the bar. Hold it down. Wildin' now till the club is closed down. Talk to
Fat Buster.
What's up, son?
Hey, them girl rolling. And it look like.
Come on.
Their asses are swollen.
And their ass getting big now.
But your man babysitting. Then what you gonna say?
What we gonna tell them?
You gonna tell that brother?
That's a Cavalcia.
Don't this hit make my people wanna jump? 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 Don't this hit make my people wanna jump?
Rob a bank, I'm saying cash rule, bust it.
Let's get this money and act like a damn fool.
Come on, act stupid and jump in the damn pool.
Boom chicks and me and the man's cool.
Come on, I'm saying, just put your bank up. With me and Diddy together, you bankrupt. Come on,
fly to
cause we full of finesse, y'all. Yeah.
See me and Puff, we finna bless y'all. Come on, don't talk about it, be about it.
Shut up!
My people come and be around it.
What up? Come on.
Rep to the fullest now. Huh. Suckers ain't knowing how we gon' put it down. Come on. Cock, aim and shoot.
Spray it down.
Steam rolling these suckers
and lay it down.
Come on, dudes, frontin' with they thug image.
But we pay them no mind.
I drink until the bottle finished. Talk to me.
Said Busta.
What's up, son?
See them girl rolling. And it look like.
Come on.
Their asses is swollen.
And my ass getting big
but
now.
Your man baby sitting.
Uh-huh.
Then what you gonna say?
What we gonna tell them?
You gonna tell that brother?
That's a Kabasi, yeah.
You gonna tell that brother?
That's a Kabasi, yeah.
Everybody singing now.
That's a Kabasi, yeah.
Everybody singing now.
That's a Kabasi, yeah.
Like Dolomite, is that right? Sure, you're right. I got a little something for groupies, Snoopy, Doopy.